You're listening to The Food Fix, a podcast where we talk with innovators who are figuring out how to better feed the world. My name's Petrolano Ali. In this episode, our guest is a researcher who's using mobile technology to empower coconut farmers in the Philippines. So what do you know about coconut? That it is food? Or that it is harvested for construction purposes? Maybe you just know that coconut is used in cosmetics or transformed into decorative objects. Fun fact, it is the largest stone fruit in the world. In the Philippines, coconut is one of the most important crops. The Food and Agriculture Organization says the country is the second largest coconut producer in the world. That's a lot, right? After Typhoon Haiyan struck the country in November 2013, an estimated 44 million trees were destroyed, affecting around 1 million coconut farmers. Because of low production, climate hazards, pests and unfavorable market conditions, farmers earn about $2 a day and remain the poorest around the world. That's the problem. But Ana Herrera, program manager with the Grameen Foundation, is implementing a project that improves the viability of coconut farmers in the Philippines. It is called Farmer Link, and it links farmers with agents who teach them how to operate a successful coconut farm. During her recent visit to the United States, I spoke with her for the Food Fix. Ana, welcome to the Food Fix.
Hello. Good afternoon.
I see that one quarter of the world's coconut production comes from the Philippines. That's pretty impressive. And one would think that coconut production in the Philippines is hitch-free. It doesn't have any problem. Is that?
The irony is that we're one of the top producers globally of coconut, but the productivity of coconut farmers in the Philippines are actually one of the lowest in the world. So it just happens that we have a lot of area for coconut farming, but the productivity per hectare is actually lowest. Just so to give you some statistics, coconut productivity in the Philippines is an average of 43 nuts per day, per tree per year. But in high-performing countries like Puerto Rico, you'll have productivity as high as 188 nuts per tree per year. So it's quite low if you can see just that vast stark difference.
What's the reason for this low productivity?
There are various reasons, but one of the things that as we actually implement this project with the Global Center for Food Systems Innovations is that farmers are actually not adapting good agricultural practices, as simple as fertilizer application, which can really boost coconut farm productivity, is not normally being practiced in the farm. That's coupled with a lot more problems like access to financial services, so farmers need more capital to purchase fertilizer, for example, and then they also don't have the most updated information on how to adopt these practices. So that's also one of the things that we're really trying to solve in this project.
Okay, those are the problems. Now tell me about your project. What does it do and how does it solve that problem that farmers are facing?
Sure. So one of the things that we're trying to figure out in the project is how we can use technology, so specifically mobile technology, in providing these types of information and services to the farmers. So earlier I was telling you about farmers not being aware of the good agricultural practices. It's just because from the farmers that we interviewed, about 97% of them actually don't have access to field officers who provide these updated information. The reasons why that is the case is that a lot of the field officers right now in the country, in the Philippines, don't actually have the most updated information. A lot of the things that they're doing are done manually. And so with the power of technology, more specifically, what we're doing is we're mobile enabling these agents. So our field officers right now in the project have mobile devices or tablets. And these tablets are updated on a regular basis so that they can share the information to the farmers related to increasing their productivity or what are the appropriate practices to do in their farm or how they can access, let's say, financial services or capital. So it really starts with having the most accurate and updated information. And then we also send these farmers SMS, so directly to them, so that they have more specific information like how much fertilizer should they use in their plots, and those can be easily adopted in their farms.
I mean, you call your project Farmer Link, mm-hmm. which I would understand, it's because you're linking
yes.
different farmers to your project and stuff like that. And you said one of the key components of FamaLink is the early warning system. Tell me how that system works.
Sure. You know, the problem is 100% of the farmers we interviewed when we were doing the research of this, they all affected by either extreme weather events or pest and disease outbreaks. And the problem is all of them actually don't have an early warning system or the appropriate information to manage these problems. And so this results to massive losses in their farm. Now, how the system works is that there's an SMS that's directly sent to the farmers whenever there's a potential pest and disease outbreak or an extreme weather event. But at the same time, we also equip national government agencies and local government units in the form of dashboards, so they can see which areas in a map view, which areas are probably going to be affected by a weather event or a pest and disease outbreak in the coming weeks. And so when they see that, they're able to provide warnings to the farmers either via SMS, because the farmers have mobile phones, or sending out their field officers to these specific areas to validate the pest and disease information or the weather information, thus also equipping the farmers with the right information to manage that event.
I'm just trying to understand why you chose coconut. There are different other crops in the Philippines. Is it a particular attachment to coconut? There's also rice, because I know there's a lot of rice in the Philippines. Why did you choose coconut?
That's true. So specifically in this project, we wanted to look at a couple of things, right? One is, how can we increase farmers' productivity? In the agriculture sector in the Philippines, actually, the coconut farmers are one of the poorest. So that's one of the reasons why we wanted to focus on them. But the second piece is also how to connect these farmers to the market. Directly to the market. And so we saw as a potential that the global demand for coconut is actually rising. So you see here in the US, you'll see a lot of coconut water, coconut sugar, other types of different products that did not exist before. So there's huge potential for farmers, for coconut farmers, to actually increase their income, because there's this big global demand that has to be met.
All right, so one good thing that receiving SMSs, when farmers receive these SMSs, do they necessarily have the resources to manage, say, pest, diseases, or environmental conditions?
Not always, to be honest. Depending on the situation, some of them can adopt these practices right away. But in other situations, they still need the help of a field officer or, let's say, a local government unit to provide them with the necessary resources to manage the pests and diseases. In other events where the situation is quite extreme, they would need, let's say, chemicals, for example, to really address or arrest pest outbreaks, then they would need to contact the local government authority. And so that's why it was important to send the information both to the farmers and the government and private sector players, so that it's going to be a complementary, like a collaboration between these agencies.
How large is the pool of farmers that you work with, and what would you say that you have achieved so far with these farmers?
Currently, we have about 8,500 farmers registered in the program. Our target overall is to reach 20,000 farmers, but it's quite exciting because we have a lot of momentum, especially starting this year, because farmers have started seeing the results. So they've started receiving alerts, SMS alerts via their mobile phone, and saw that some of their neighbors are also receiving this information and adopting this information. And even with the field officers that are visiting them on a regular basis, they notice that it's actually quite new information, and it's more specific information that they can use in their farm. And so once farmers started seeing the results of the program, they really got interested in joining it.
What would be an achievement in this project that you can say that you're most proud of?
I think one of the things is really empowering the farmers. I think in the beginning, you see a lot of farmers having a lot of apprehension with technology. Even our field officers, who are a bit older, had really apprehension in using technology. But as you see them interact with it more, as they become comfortable, farmers with the use of technology now have the power of information. So now they know the options they can take. Now they know that if it's just a matter of adding, let's say, 2 kilograms of salt fertilizer application, it can really boost their productivity. Now they feel empowered because they have individualized information, like as opposed to what they receive in group trainings or group settings. They actually value that they receive messages on their phones, and that enables them to decide for their farms or for their plot. When we go to the field, those kinds of stories really re-energize us and makes the work all worth it.
I mean, one of the things about technology is that most people would think that it's easy for farmers to use, especially those in the rural areas. I'm wondering how you navigate that, because receiving the messages does not necessarily mean that they read and understand those complex terms and they can actually manipulate those phones and understand what the messages are instructing them to do. How do you navigate that?
Part of the process of designing content, I mean, even content with SMS or how we conduct our training for with the field officers, it's a lot of what they're calling user design testing, user design process. And so before actually finalizing a text message, an SMS campaign, or even the materials that we're sending out to the farmers, we normally do a lot of testing processes. It makes sure that we get farmers' feedback to actually address those points that you mentioned. If we don't do that, we're not sure if the farmers are actually understanding the SMS, if it's too complicated, if it's too simple. So we do several rounds of testing before we finalize content. We consult a lot of not just the farmers, but a lot of the field officers, because these field officers actually complement that SMS with the interaction with the farmer when they do the regular visits. So it's important to not provide a lot of too complicated terms, but at the same time drive down to specific information so that actually farmers can adopt the new updated agricultural practices.
So you've been operating since October 2015. Where are you headed? What are you going to do next?
It's quite an exciting time. As I said, now there are about 8,500 farmers enrolled in the program. We are really focused on at least reaching 20,000 first. But at the same time, we're exploring how we can scale this nationally. So as I mentioned, we're just in the one region in the Philippines, but we're currently doing our rounds of partnerships in the Visayas and Luzon. We're seeing a lot of potential to be able to scale this nationally. The second piece is also looking at how can we deepen our intervention? So not just scaling the services, but how can we actually add more components? So as I've said earlier, the problems facing coconut farmers, it's actually quite complicated. You need financial services, you need pest and disease management, you need the government, you need private sectors. And so how do we add those other sectors to make sure that we have very strong consortium to really address the complex challenges that farmers face?
Let's take a quick comeback, and maybe you tell me how you obtain the information about weather disease that you send out to the farmers. How do you obtain that information?
Right. So for the early warning system, it's actually different types of sources. So one is we're gathering weather information from one of our partners. They're called AWARE. They're an agriculture intelligence company. So that's where we pull our weather information. The second piece is we also pull it from the field officers themselves. So once farmers register into the program, we get their GPS coordinates. So those GPS coordinates are necessary to pull the appropriate weather information into the system. And then the third one is coming up with pest and disease models as well. So apart from weather alerts, we also have pest and disease information specifically for the major pests in coconut. So we also pull information from these models. Those are all put in a dashboard so that it's easy for the local government agency or the Philippine Coconut Authority to determine the appropriate alerts and when we should send those alerts.
So how would you say your project has helped your community?
A lot of the feedback that we're getting is that, so for example, a week and a half ago, I was in Davao talking to different farmers. One farmer, she was telling us that she started receiving this information, the SMS and how to increase productivity. And she said that prior to the project, she was producing about 1,100 nuts per hectare. But she started doing some of the advice that she's been getting from the SMS. In her last harvest, which is just January, she reached her peak productivity, which is 1,800 nuts that harvest cycle. So she is quite happy. We're going to follow this up with a lot of more robust activities, but you're seeing some stories from the farmers emerging. So those kinds of stories are quite powerful.
Ana Herrera is a program manager with the Grameen Foundation in the Philippines, and she's working on a project that connects farmers with agents who can provide insight into operating a successful coconut farm in the Philippines. Ana, thank you so much for talking to The Food Fix.
Thank you.
And that's it from me, Petrolano Ali, on this episode of The Food Fix. Do you have an idea that improves coconut farming? We want to hear from you. Email us with questions and comments at foodfixpodcast@gmail.com. The Food Fix is produced by the Translational Scholars Program at Michigan State University with funding from the Global Center for Food Systems Innovation, a development lab funded by USAID. Our theme music is a song, Watching My Garden Grow, by two of our favorite Michigan artists, Lindsay Liu and Josh Rilko. Thank you for listening and have a great day.